Hi, everyone. This is my first time ever sharing my story with you guys, and I've never done this before, so I'm sorry if I say something that I do not mean, but I'm going to try my best. So I am 20 years old. This is my third youth gathering. I went to my first one when I was 14, and now I'm 20 at my third one. My goal today is for you guys to relate to me and to hear my story. So I want to start off by sharing a little bit about me. So this is my family. I have my dad, Jason, my mom, Sherianne, she's here today in the back, my brother, and I have my brother, Dylan, who's also over there, and then it's me, and I have some baby pictures on there. I've been to Guatemala 3 times for a mission trip, and I was very active in church. I've always been active in church. I got perfect attendance several years in a row for Sunday school. I was a Sunday school teacher a few years, and I was in a puppet ministry for like 7 years, and I did that with my brother. Just making sure I'm not missing anything. So, a little bit more about me. I love making people laugh in school. I was considered a class clown. That's also what led to me sharing this story with you. I'm going to share about a mistake that I made and how I learned from it and how that led me back to God. So, like I said, I love making people laugh. So, in school, people always came to me to make them laugh. And my junior and senior year, I didn't have the best of friends. I did have an amazing friend group, but the people that I spent most of my time with, they weren't the best of people, and they led me to do some bad things. My high school consisted of 1,200 people. I'm from Marshfield, Wisconsin, right in the middle, and all around Wisconsin and other states too, we noticed that people were doing bomb threats. I know that sounds really bad, but they were jokes to get a day off of school. So me and my friend in our senior year of high school decided for our senior prank that we would do one. We would write one in the bathroom at our school. We talked about this on December 8th, 2019. I was 17, and we talked about doing it in our jewelry class. So me and my friend, her name was Simone, we decided on the day December 18th, which was her boyfriend Jason's birthday, and we decided that we would write the bomb threats in the bathrooms several days in advance because it was a joke. We did not mean to hurt anyone. So on December 9th, 2019 is when we talked about writing them, and I chickened out at the last minute, so I did not write any of them, but my friend Simone went ahead and she wrote them, and I knew it was not a good idea, and I didn't tell her to stop. I let her keep going, and so she went and she did them. She did them in several different bathrooms at school. And I thought it was funny at the time because I was seeing how teachers were reacting and students were reacting. I saw that the janitor put an out of order sign on the girls' bathroom, and that's how they wanted to solve the problem. So when I was at lunch on December 9th, 2019, I went in there with a few other friends who had no idea what was going on. And we went and we saw the threat in the bathroom, and they thought that like it was really serious and that I should go tell our principal. So I went and I told the principal that I found a threat in the bathroom, and I reported it to him. And I wanted to make it seem like I had no involvement by doing that, even though I knew exactly what was going on. So by doing that, that kind of gave it away that I was involved, even though he didn't know I was involved till the next day, which I'll tell you guys more about that. just want to make sure I'm saying everything. So the next day happened. I was in my first ever class for about 10 minutes, and then the office lady came, and she told me that I needed to go to the office. So I went down to the office, and the principal wanted to talk to me. So I went into the principal's office, and I went in there, and the police officer was in there. They were asking me questions about what happened, what I know, and at first I denied everything. And then they questioned me some more, and then I told them everything that I know. So then I was in there for about 2 hours. They were interrogating me, asking me questions, and then I moved to another principal's office, and I was in there for about an hour just by myself. I had to write one of those notes about why I was in the office, and then after that hour passed, I went back into the other principal's office with a police officer, and they were asking me more questions, and then they told me that I had to go to the police station because they were going to take my picture and my fingerprints, and I had no idea what was going on. They didn't call my parents. They didn't say anything. They were just, I guess, coming up with things as on the go. So I went to the police station. I rode in the front of the cop car with the cop. We were talking, and he was explaining to me what was going on. So when I get to the police station, he takes me to the back, and I get my mugshot taken. I get my fingerprints done. I was so scared. I was 17, and I had no idea what was going on. So then I went back to school after I got all that done, and I had to call my mom and tell her what was going on. That was one of the scariest phone calls I have ever had to make. Of course, she didn't know what to say. My dad didn't know what to say. And I'm pretty sure he was home that day, too, because he plowed snow, and it was snowy that day. So my dad was home, too, which was even more scary. So I had to go home and tell my mom and dad what happened. And when I left school, they told me to get my things. So I got all my things from my locker, and I went home, and they said that I was suspended for 5 days. And then, so I get home, tell my parents, and 5 days go by. I get a letter in the mail saying I'm suspended for another 10 days. And then another letter comes in the mail saying that I have a possible expulsion. That word really scared me. I didn't think my mistake could lead to an expulsion. But so at that time, we thought it was a good idea to hire a lawyer. So we got the lawyer involved, and he told us not to go to the expulsion hearing because they would just belittle me even more. So we stayed home. I ended up getting expelled from my high school, so I didn't get to walk across stage or do any of that with my class. And that really hurt me just because I was in school my entire life only to not be able to graduate with my class for a silly mistake I made. So when all that was going on, I was at the lowest of lows in my life. In the news, you aren't supposed to say people's names in the news if they're a minor, but somehow they said my name and they put my picture in the news, and that hurt me even more. That made me go deeper and deeper into the emotional mess that I was in. So I was feeling so much regret, and I was feeling so embarrassed for what I did, because I had to live with this the rest of my life, knowing that I was involved with something like that. So I want to share something with you from my journal. When I started my journal when all this stuff happened, just so I could get everything out. So I brought my journal here. I just want to read you guys something from it. So I wrote this on December 30th, 2019, and it says, I can't go back to where I was. I need to build a place that is healthy. I need to be strong. I want to be okay. I feel like I am still trying to find out who I am. Sometimes I wonder, why am I here? Why do I meet the people that I meet? I believe that everything happens for a reason. I've lost appetite over this and everything I am experiencing. I'm often stuck in my own head. I don't know what's next for me in life. I'm trying to be positive. I have so many things in life that are distracting me. I need to focus on me and improving myself. I need to spend time away from the distractions in this world. But sometimes I need to be distracted from the things in my mind. It's been hard to not have communication with many people. I feel like I lost a lot of my life. I get distracted by everything happening in the world, so it has been nice to get a break from it. But when I get back, when I get my phone, I find myself falling into the same hole again. I want to stay away from that. I want to be happy with myself. I want to be happy with what I am doing in life, and I want to be able to make other people happy. So I lost all my friends through this. I did not have anyone. And I lost my education. I lost my plans for after high school. After high school, I was planning on going to Costa Rica for 16 weeks to teach English, and I lost all of that. So that was really hard for me because that's something that I was looking forward to, and I had all my plans set, at least the plans that I thought I was going to have. So I was feeling so many different emotions that I couldn't even control. How many of you guys have ever felt guilty, shame, or pain? Raise your hand. I see a lot of you guys had the same emotions as I did. And even though I was so sad, one day I opened up my 2016 LCMS Youth Bible and actually brought it with me. I opened up my Bible to Isaiah 43:2, and I will share that verse with you in a little bit. But when I opened it up, I saw the exact same thing that I needed to hear. I randomly opened it up. It's not like I was searching for something. I randomly opened it up to this page, and this is what it said. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And I feel like that was the exact verse that I needed to hear because it told me that I wasn't alone. God was with me even when I didn't think he was, and he's with you guys even when you don't think he was. And listening to that and hearing that, that's what gave me the power that I needed to get through this. And another verse that I found was James 4:7. And it says, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I feel like the devil, when all that was going on, I feel like because I was such a good Christian girl growing up and I was always in Sunday school and in church, that he targeted me because I was so loyal to God, and he somehow took me away from God and put me on a path that I didn't want to be on. And in this National Youth Gathering Bible, it's there's a passage in here in... It says, you'll never walk alone. And it says, nevertheless, Christians can expect to suffer much in this life. In this hostile world, or wait, let me see here, sorry. Yep. Nevertheless, Christians can expect to suffer much in this life. Satan will assault you and afflict you in body and soul. He will cast uncertainty on God's certain promises. He will attempt to lead you off the Lord's lighted path into certain danger and destruction. by urging you to do what is right in your own eyes and to walk your own walk in the darkness of sin. In this hostile world filled with sin-wrought suffering, when you stray from the Lord's lighted path and attempt to walk in dark danger, God will never abandon you or give up on you. He will walk with you to the gates of heaven. He promises to take the same stormy circumstances in life that Satan plans to use for evil and use them instead for your eternal good. When I heard that, I immediately dropped to my knees and started praying to God. I prayed for probably over 10 minutes, just asking for forgiveness for everything that I did. And that just fueled me and helped me to move on. And another verse that I found was Colossians 3:17, and says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So God was showing me signs through all these Bible verses, and I have no doubt that it was God, just because of everything that he was showing me. And one day when I got in the car, I listened to the song One Step Away by Casting Crowns, and those words just spoke right to me, everything that they said, because it says, "What if you could go back and relive one day of your life all over again and unmake the mistake that left you a million miles away?" And I wish that I could have gone back to undo the mistake that I made. But in a way, I'm happy that it happened, because it brought me to a place that I wanted. Like, this is who I am. This is who I want to be, because I'm a way better person than what I was. I was not on a good path. And now I can say that I am on a good path, and I'm the person that God wanted me to be. And I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the punishment that I got for this. So I got, let me see, and I'll show that you guys that in a little bit. So I was initially charged with a Class I felony and 3 years in jail. So they dropped all that. But yeah, I was charged that just for me not even writing any of the threats, but being involved. So I was charged with 3 misdemeanors, 2 years of probation, 200 hours of community service, and 14 days jail. So I did have to serve time for this, but because of COVID, they had me the ankle monitors, so I had those. Those were not fun. Not something I recommend for anyone. They are very painful. Yeah, so I have a news clip that they did of me, and Simone is also in there, but I wanted to show you, because so I was initially charged 2 years of probation, but I was able to get off early because I was doing everything that I was supposed to do. So on November 26th of 2021, not even a year ago, I was free of all my mistakes, thanks to God, and I'm able to start basically a new life. And I want to share one more thing from my journal. And this was a year after the incident. So this was from December 9th, 2020. It says, "Wow, it has been 1 year since I got expelled from school. I can't believe how much I have grown and how far I have become. I feel like I know who I am, and I feel like I know what I want in a husband. 1 year ago, I was a very immature kid that got caught up in bad things. I wasn't headed on a good path. I completely cut off social media and lost all my friends. I realized that today I forgot how to talk to people and connect with them. What happened to me took over mentally and emotionally. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God, Tammy, my DCE, and my parents. I get so emotional thinking about what an impact they made in my life. I often think about wanting to write a book and explain what happened and my struggles. I'm not ready to do that yet because my story is still being written." And to be able to speak at the National Youth Gathering to you guys is a huge blessing, because I never thought that I would be able to do this. And I'm happy that you guys are the first group of people that I was able to share my story with. So I want to share. So the thing on the left is like the alcohol monitor. I would have to sit next to that at 10 p.m. every night for like 30 minutes, I think. And so I had two different bracelets on. One was the alcohol monitor, and then the other one was the, forgot the name of it, the tracker, I guess. It had the chip in it. And that's my dog, Bella. She helped me a lot, too, through it. And so I always had to roll my socks because it was not comfortable and you couldn't have anything in between the bracelets. So I'm happy I only had to wear them for a few days. But another thing that I'm happy about is that I didn't have to go to jail just because I'm 5 feet tall and that would not have been fun. So I want to share with you all where I am now in life. So I did end up graduating from the high school that I was expelled from. So because I was ahead in my classes and everything, they worked with me to help me get my diploma because I earned it for all the work that I did. And I wasn't able to take part in any of my senior activities. So now whenever I graduate, I make sure to do everything that I can. So another milestone in my life was I got my associate's degree in human services. And what I want to do with my life now is I want to help youth at risk because people helped me when I was in my struggles. Now I want to pass that forward and help other people. So my goal for now that I just got my associates, I want to go on to get my bachelor's in social work and eventually work for like CPS or something like that. And then another thing that I want to tell you guys is, so when I was nearing the end of finally getting my happiness back and everything, I realized that I was ready to have someone else in my life. So I was praying to God so many nights in a row, asking him to send me someone who I can spend the rest of my life with. And he blessed me with Leo. And so now we are engaged. And we're going to be getting married next year in June. And we work together at Menards. And yeah, he's a very big blessing in my life. So...